guide, much like you would on an African safari. Your guide should be a socially aware expert, willing to show you the ropes when it comes to tapping into your instincts and picking up the room's mood. Shadow your guide and listen to what he feels and sees. Ask what he senses and what clues gave the mood away. Eventually, you should be the one to take the lead. Size up the room and share and compare your thoughts with your guide. Through this exercise, you will soon pick up on observations like your guide does, in time doing so on your own. Human nature and behavior may not be that far from what happens on the open African savanna. The sooner you can hone your ability to spot safety, concern, or shifts in moods and group settings, the more skilled you will be in maneuvering through the social wilds of your life. Chapter 8. Relationship Management Strategies. Most people have a spring in their step and put their best foot forward when they're in a new relationship, work or otherwise. But they stumble and lose their footing trying to maintain relationships over the long term. Reality soon sets in that the honeymoon phase is officially over. The truth is, all relationships take work, even the great ones that seem effortless. We've all heard this, but do we really get it? Working on a relationship takes time, effort, and know-how. The know-how is emotional intelligence. If you want a relationship that has staying power and grows over time, and in which your needs and the other person's needs are satisfied, the final EQ skill, relationship management, is just what the doctor ordered. Thankfully, these relationship management skills can be learned, and they tap into the three other EQ skills that you're familiar with: self-awareness, self-management, and social awareness. You use your self-awareness skills to notice your feelings and judge if your needs are being satisfied. You use your self-management skills to express your feelings and act accordingly to benefit the connection. Finally, you use your social awareness skills to better understand the other person's needs and feelings. In the end, no man is an island. Relationships are an essential and fulfilling part of life. Since you are half of any relationship, you have half of the responsibility of deepening these connections. The following 17 strategies will help you work on what's critical to making relationships work. Relationship Management Strategies. 1. Be open and be curious. 2. Enhance your natural communication style. 3. Avoid giving mixed signals. 4. Remember the little things that pack a punch. 5. Take feedback well. 6. Build trust. 7. Have an open door policy. 8. Only get mad on purpose. 9. Don't avoid the inevitable. 10. Acknowledge the other person's feelings. 11. Compliment the person's emotions or situation. 12. When you care, show it. 13. Explain your decisions. Don't just make them. 14. Make your feedback direct and constructive. 15. Align your intention with your impact. 16. Offer a fix-it statement during a broken conversation. 17. Tackle a tough conversation. Relationship Management Strategy Number 1. Be open and be curious. We can imagine a few listeners thinking, "Oh, brother, I have to be open and curious with people at work? Can I just work on my projects and what I was hired to do, minus the touchy-feely stuff?" Actually, establishing, building, and maintaining relationships are all part of your job, even if you work with just one other person. Maintaining relationships may not be on your job description and may not have even been discussed. But for you to be successful, being open and curious is absolutely, unequivocally part of your job. Let's explore what open means in terms of relationship management. Being open means sharing information about yourself with others. You can use your self-management skills to choose how open you are and what you share, but know that there's a benefit to opening up that may help you with your choices. When people know about you, there's less room for them to misinterpret you. For example, if you're particularly sensitive about showing up 5 minutes early to meetings and get annoyed when people stroll in at the very beginning of the meeting or even a little late, some people might interpret you as being uptight and rigid. If you shared with these same people that you were in the Marines for the first years of your career, your coworkers would understand and maybe even appreciate your sense of timing and courtesy. Who knows? Your punctuality might even rub off. Being an open book on your end isn't the whole story with managing a relationship. You also need to be interested in the other person's story as well. In other words, you need to be curious. The more you show interest in and learn about the other person, the better shot you have at meeting his or her needs and not misinterpreting them. When you ask questions, draw from your social awareness skills to choose an appropriate setting and time. Be inquisitive in your tone, similar to how Santa Claus asks a child what he'd like for Christmas. The opposite tone is judgmental. Think of someone who's ever asked you a question like, "Why on earth did you buy a motorcycle?" Or, "You majored in philosophy, what did you plan to do with that?" When you ask questions and this person opens up, you will not only learn information that will help you manage the relationship, but the other person will also appreciate the interest shown in him or her. If you're beginning a new relationship, in an established one, or even if you're in a rough patch, take a few minutes out of your day to identify a few relationships that need some attention, and make time to be open and curious with these people. Relationship management strategy number 2. Enhance your natural communication style. Whether it's putting your 2 cents in when others are talking to you, or shying away from a disagreement, your natural communication style shapes your relationships. Now you have the opportunity to use your self-awareness, self-management, and social awareness skills to shape your natural style. At the top of a page in a journal, describe what your natural style is. You can call it whatever you would like. Think about how your friends, family, and colleagues experience your style. Is it direct, indirect, comfortable, serious, entertaining, discreet, controlled, chatty, intense, curious, cool, intrusive? You name it because you've likely heard about it more than once. On the left side of the paper, jot down the upsides of your natural style. These are the things people appreciate about how you interact with them. On the right side, list the downsides or things that have created confusion, weird reactions, or trouble. Once your list is complete, choose 3 upsides that you can use more to improve your communication. Next, choose 3 downsides and think about ways you can either eliminate, downplay, or improve them. Be honest with yourself about what you will or won't do. If you need help figuring out what will give you the biggest results, just ask your friends, co-workers, and family for their suggestions. Making your plan public will also build in accountability that can help you make a lasting improvement in your relationships. Relationship management strategy number 3. Avoid giving mixed signals. We all rely on stoplights to safely direct us through intersections dozens of times each week. When the stoplights aren't working and the lights either blink to proceed with caution or are out altogether, the intersection transforms into an every man for himself situation. People are confused, and when it's their turn to cross, they gingerly look all ways before moving ahead. With functioning stoplights, we have confidence in the system because it's clear what we do. Stop on red and go on green. It's the same for signals that we send to the people in our relationships. Feelings express truth, and they have a way of rising to the surface through our reactions and body language, despite the words we choose. Telling your staff in a muted voice and frowning face that they did a great job on the product launch doesn't match up. The words and the body language are mixed. People trust what they see over what they hear. Even if you're a good self-manager, your emotions rise to the surface. You experience many emotions every day, and your brain can't sort through every single one. When you talk with someone, you may be saying one thing that's on your mind as your body reacts to an emotion you experienced minutes ago. You confuse and frustrate others when you say one thing and your body or tone say another. Over time, this confusion will cause communication issues that will affect your relationships. To resolve the mixed signal issue, use your self-awareness skills to identify your emotions, and use your self-management skills to decide which feelings to express and how to express them. Sometimes it might not be appropriate to match your signals. Let's say you become angry in a meeting and can't really show your emotion at that moment. Just put your anger on the back burner for the moment, but don't disregard the feeling forever. Choose a time when you can express your anger, when it doesn't work against you, but instead produces the most positive results. If your emotion is strong enough and you can't put off expressing it, your best bet is to explain what's happening. That is, if I seem distracted, it's because I can't stop worrying about a phone call that went awry this morning. For the next month, pay close attention to matching your tone and body language to what you are really trying to say. Take mental note of those moments when you tell someone that you're feeling fine, but your body, tone, or demeanor is sending drastically different signals. When you catch yourself sending a mixed signal, readjust to match it or explain it. Relationship management strategy number 4. Remember the little things that pack a punch. It's pretty obvious on any news channel, reality show, sitcom, or newspaper that today's media feed off the idea that courtesy appears to be diminishing in modern society. With the decline of good manners, there are fewer expressions of appreciation. These days, in both personal and work-related relationships, there are far too few pleases, thank yous, and I'm sorries being expressed. Most workers will say that they never get thanked for their contributions at work, but yet will agree that hearing thank you, please, or even I'm sorry can have a positive impact on morale. Think about how often you really say thank you, please, or I'm sorry when it is needed. If you don't use them often, it could be due to lack of time or habit, or maybe even a bruised ego. Begin to make a habit of incorporating more of these phrases into your relationships. Or, rather, please make it a habit to use more of these phrases during your day. Thank you. Relationship management strategy number 5. Take feedback well. Feedback is a unique gift. It's meant to help us improve in ways that we perhaps cannot see on our own. Since you never know exactly what you're going to receive, however, feedback is sometimes like opening up a present and looking inside to find a pair of tiger-striped socks with red sequins. The element of surprise can catch us off guard, so we need to use our self-awareness skills to prepare ourselves for that moment. What do I feel when I'm on the spot and surprised? How do I show it? With that awareness, move on to your self-management skills. What response should I choose? To help you receive feedback well, let's break it down. First, consider the source of your feedback. This person probably has a relevant perspective. He or she knows you and has seen your performance and has an interest in seeing you improve. As you receive feedback, turn on your social awareness skills to listen and really hear what is being said. Ask clarifying questions and ask for examples to better understand the person's perspective. Whether you agree with what was said or not, thank the person for his or her willingness to share because it takes almost as much grace to give feedback as it does to receive it. After you receive the feedback, use your self-management skills to decide your next steps. Don't feel pressure to rush into action. Time can help you absorb the underlying point, sort out your feelings and thoughts, and help you to decide what to do about the feedback. Remember the emotion versus reason list? Receiving feedback is probably the hardest part of the process. Once you decide what to do with the feedback, follow up with plans. Actually making adjustments will show the person who gave you feedback that you value his or her comments. Take the person's feedback seriously and try what he or she suggested. There may be no better way to solidify your relationship with him or her. Relationship management strategy number 6. Build trust. Have you ever been asked to practice trust? The exercise looks like this. You have a partner and you stand about 5 feet in front of the person with your back facing him. You close your eyes and on a count of three, you fall backward toward the person so that he can catch you. When you're caught, everyone enjoys a laugh and is thankful neither person wiped out. If only trust were a matter of good, strong arms and steady balance. An unknown author said, "Trust is a peculiar resource. It is built rather than depleted by use." Trust is something that takes time to build, can be lost in seconds, and may be our most important and most difficult objective in managing our relationships. How is trust built? Open communication, willingness to share, consistency in words, action, and behavior over time, and reliability in following through on the agreements of the relationship, just to name a few examples. It's ironic that, for most relationships, a certain level of trust needs to be present in order for you to develop trust. To build trust, use your self-awareness and self-management skills to be the first to lay some of yourself on the line and share something about you. Remember, you should share parts of yourself at a time. Don't feel like you have to be a complete open book up front. To manage your relationships, you need to manage your trust of others, and their trust level of you is critical to deepening your connection with others. Cultivating relationships and building trust take time. Identify the relationships in your life that need more trust and use your self-awareness skills to ask yourself what is missing. Use your social awareness skills to ask the other person what needs to happen to build trust and listen to the answer. Asking will show you care about the relationship, which will help to build trust and deepen the relationship. Relationship management strategy number 7. Have an open door policy. Here's a quick history lesson that you may remember. The open door policy originated in 1899 when the United States feared it would lose its trading privileges in the East. The United States declared an open door policy allowing all trading nations access to the Chinese market. Access. It's an important word that sums up the open door concept. Access has moved swiftly beyond trading agreements and into the workplace. Today, a true open door policy allows any employee to talk to anyone at any level, fostering upward communication through direct and easy access to everyone below. Ask those around you if you should adopt an open door policy to better manage your relationships. If you need to be more accessible and show people they can have unscheduled, informal conversations with you, then adopting this policy might be right up your alley. Keep in mind you don't have to stretch yourself too thin by being there for everyone at any time. You simply have to communicate your policy and then stick to it. Use your self-awareness skills to identify how the policy works for you and manage yourself to make it work. Ongoing observations of others, also known as social awareness, should help you determine how it's working, too. Remember, increasing your accessibility can only improve your relationships. It literally opens the door to communication, even if it's virtual, by email or phone. People will feel valued and respected because of the time you're giving them, and you get the opportunity to learn about others. At the end of the day, the policy is a win for you and a win for others. Relationship management strategy number 8. Only get mad on purpose. Anyone can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, this is not easy. We can thank Greek philosopher Aristotle for those words and enduring insight into managing our emotions and relationships. If you can master this one, consider your EQ journey a success. Anger is an emotion that exists for a reason. Anger is not an emotion to stifle or ignore. If you manage it properly and use it purposefully, you can get results that enhance your relationships. Really. Think of the football coach who gets straight to the point at halftime. His stern feedback grabs his players' attention and focuses them for the second half. The team returns refreshed, refocused, and ready to win. In this case, the coach managed his emotions to motivate others to action. Expressing anger in appropriate ways communicates your strong feelings and reminds people of the gravity of a situation. Expressing anger too much, or at the wrong times, desensitizes people to what you are feeling, making it hard for others to take you seriously. Using a strong emotion like anger to benefit your relationships will take time to master, because hopefully you don't have daily opportunities to practice. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes preparation for this strategy, starting with becoming aware of your anger. Use your self-awareness skills to think about and define your varying degrees of anger, from what annoys you a little to what sends you off the deep end. Write these down and choose words that are specific, and then write examples to explain when you feel this way. Determine when you should show your anger based on the criterion that if it's shared, it will actually improve the relationship somehow. To make your choices, use your social awareness skills to think about the other people involved and their responses. Remember, relationship management is about making choices and acting with the goal of creating an honest, deep connection with others. To do this, you need to be honest with others and with yourself, which sometimes means using anger with a purpose. Relationship management strategy number 9. Don't avoid the inevitable. You and Marge work in the same shipping and receiving department. She gets under your skin. If you could press a button to ship her to another department, it would have been done 5 years ago. The problem is, no such button exists, and there's no chance of change. To add fuel to the fire, your boss has just given you and Marge a large project to work on together. She suggests meeting for lunch to talk about the next steps, and you generate a fast list of reasons why you can't make it. You have officially brushed Marge off. Now what? You're still at square one, that's what, and you still have the project and have to figure out how to work together. This is when relationship management skills are absolutely necessary, because though you might not choose a friendship with this person, you and Marge are now responsible for the same project. Here's a basic strategy to work with Marge. Do not avoid her or the situation. Accept it and make the choice to use your EQ skills to move forward with her. You'll need to watch your emotions and make decisions about how to manage those emotions. Since you're not in this alone, conjure up your social awareness skills to bring Marge into the fold and put yourself in her shoes. Meet with her to learn about what experience she has to offer and her preferences for working with you on this project. Observe her body language to see how she responds to you. Maybe you frustrate her just as much. This may hurt a little, but you may actually lay the groundwork for a working relationship. Next, share your preferences for managing the project and come to an agreement. You won't need to tell Marge you don't care for her. Instead, you can share that you'd prefer to work independently on separate parts of the project and meet along the way to ensure you're both on track. If Marge agrees, your work process has been hammered out. If she doesn't agree, it's time to apply more self-management and social awareness skills until you reach an agreement. If you get frustrated along the way, and chances are you will, ask yourself why and decide how to manage yourself. Loop back with Marge at your next meeting and remind yourselves about the goal of the project. At the end of the project, find a way to acknowledge what you both accomplished together. Relationship management strategy number 10. Acknowledge the other person's feelings. If you're known for being terrible with relationships, then this EQ strategy may be a great place to start getting better. Let's say that one morning you're pulling into your company's parking lot and you see your coworker, Jessie, holding back tears as she exits her car next to you. You ask her if she's okay, and she's not. You respond with, "Well, work will get it off your mind. See you inside." Then you wonder why she avoids you for the rest of the day. One key to managing relationships is leaning into your own discomfort and taking a moment to acknowledge, not stifle or change, other people's feelings. "I'm sorry you're upset. What can I do?" shows Jessie that if crying is what's going to help her, then you'd be willing to find her a tissue. Simple acts like this one acknowledge emotions without making them a big deal, marginalizing them, or dismissing them. Everyone has a right to experience feelings, even if you might not feel the same way. You don't have to agree with the way people are feeling, but you do have to recognize those feelings as legitimate and respect them. To help you validate someone's feelings, let's use Jessie's example. Using your social awareness skills, listen to her intently, and summarize what you've heard back to her. Not only does it show great listening skills, but it also shows that you're adept at relationship management because you reached out to show you cared and took an interest in her. You'll end up with a better connection with a now calm Jessie, and all it took was some time to pay attention and notice her feelings. Relationship management strategy number 11. Compliment the person's emotions or situation. If you calmly phone your utility company to have an incorrect fee removed from your monthly bill, you would assume that the customer service representative would be helpful, friendly, and courteous with your request. Let's say you make the same phone call, but this time you're in a terrible mood. You're feeling testy, agitated, and annoyed at the error. You've been on hold for 10 minutes, which doesn't help. When the customer service rep talks to you, he can hear it in your voice. When he speaks, he sounds serious, as if he wants to resolve this quickly. You appreciate the professionalism and service, check this problem off your list, and move on. This customer service rep is skilled at picking up on cues and adapting to them to give fast, hassle-free service, which benefits the customer and the company as well. And his high EQ makes him promotable and marketable. What he did exactly is a strategy in relationship management that requires social awareness skills, listening, being present, putting yourself in the shoes of the other person, identifying where someone is emotionally, and choosing an appropriate and complimentary response. This last piece, choosing a complimentary response, doesn't require you to match or mirror emotions. It wouldn't make sense for the customer service rep to use the same impatient approach you did. That would infuriate you as the customer. Mirroring emotions would also make coworkers and friends recoil. The complimentary response always says you recognize what the other person feels and you think it's important. To practice complimenting emotions in your relationships, think about one or two emotional situations you've experienced where there wasn't a lot of gray area and there was at least one other person present. How did the other person respond to you? Did his or her response help or hurt your mood? Was the person able to compliment your emotional state? Once you can answer these questions, it's your turn to focus on complimenting other people's emotions in the situations they face. Give yourself a week or two to be at the ready for the people in your closest relationships, the people at work or home. Tell yourself your role is to notice their moods and to be there for your coworkers and family members in a helpful way. Whether you're excited or concerned for them, you will show that you are sensitive and care about what they are going through. Relationship management strategy number 12. When you care, show it. Here's a true story for aspiring high EQ managers across the globe. One morning, I groggily went up in the elevator of my office building to start yet another day. It had been a long night the day before. I'd stayed late so I could finish some projects for my boss. When I got to my cubicle, I saw that there was a fresh black and white cookie and a card that said, "Thanks for filling in the black and whites." It was from my boss. She was always such a busy person, juggling home and work. I was floored to see that she had found a few minutes to slip into a bakery on behalf of my sweet tooth and get into the office early to put a cookie on my chair. I just about cried at her thoughtfulness. Talk about the simple things that go a long way. That cookie motivated me to work even harder, and I did so happily and with fierce loyalty.